This should be a Chris episode.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, you mean like Chris kind of taking the reins?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Take Hello, it away. Everyone.
Okay, this is off to a bad start. I'll start us off then. Okay. Welcome to another exciting episode of the First Podcast. My name is Lars. With me, as always, is Joe, my co-host.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going? Also with me today is the shadow of the First Podcast, Chris.
From the shadows.
And, for some reason, Ohan decided to join us again, so he's here.
I'm lonely.
All right, and Chris actually has a special guest for us today. I'm going to let him introduce you. Go ahead, Chris.
So today we have Game Master Richard Quiner joining us. And
Oh, wow, I got a title on that one. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so why don't you go ahead, Richard, and go ahead and start us off by explaining a little bit for the audience who may not be familiar with who you are. Can you just tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Richard. I'm a game master. My main purpose in life is playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and trying to teach people how to do that. I got a YouTube channel where I just try to explain to, and get people familiar with tabletop role-playing games. And that's kind of what I do, you know, as my little side hustle, so to speak. Yeah. I play with Chris. He plays in one of my games, which is how he decided to bring me into this.
Hey,
so why go on YouTube to teach people that? What was the inspiration for trying to get the word out? Is it just something that's a passion of yours and you wanted to share it with the world, or what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a two-part thing. So doing YouTube videos or trying to make content online has been a thing since back in, like, when I was in college. So this
1996,
is
yeah. Yeah.
Like, 8 years ago. Yeah, no, I wish. Then I would have more notoriety in tabletop gaming. No, but since about, like, 8 years ago, I wanted to do stuff in new media. I went to film school here in L.A., and that's, you know, it's a tough industry. So wanting to do that, and then stumbling upon D&D and finding out how fun it is and just kind of embracing that, it just became something I really like doing, and I found myself spending pretty much most of my time when I'm not, like, working, I would spend my time thinking about D&D or working on stuff for D&D, and then when I started running games, I was like, hey, this is a lot easier than people make it seem, so why don't I, you know, use these new experiences I'm getting to share that with people and encourage other people who might not know where to start and help them get into it. Because when I started on it, it was hard to learn how to do some things. I was, like, Googling and not finding the answers I was looking for. So now I'm trying to put those answers out there, and hopefully people can find them eventually.
But, that's very noble.
Oh, thank you.
I've noticed most aspiring dungeon masters, they'll, like, buy the player's handbook and maybe a dungeon master's guide. And then they'll, like, start reading that, and then they'll realize, oh, I have a huge project before I can actually play anything. So I think your videos and everything, I think they're very helpful in that regard.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was the one thing I did when I first started, too, is, like, I went out, I bought the Player's Handbook, I bought the Dungeon Master Guide, I bought the Monster Manual. Those things add up to about $90, and that's, even to those, you can't even play the game without, you know, getting ready something. So yeah, I don't know, you guys probably haven't seen the videos, but one of my things is trying to get people started quickly. So I say, you know, you don't need a whole story. You don't need to have your story from beginning to end lined out before you start playing, because it's you and the character and the players, you guys are creating your story, and you won't know what's going to happen. So just dive in, you know, the water's fine, and get going.
I don't play tabletop RPGs at all, but just from what I know about them, I imagine that there's just this huge barrier to entry that people think that it exists, and
yeah,
maybe it doesn't, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's kind of a false perception, especially now, like, D&D has grown in popularity over the last couple of years by leaps and bounds. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Critical Role, but it's this Geek and Sundry's most popular show.
Heard of it.
I think on their 100th episode, they had something like 100,000 people watching on Twitch. Live.
Wow.
People that's, sitting that's around.
Almost Ohan numbers.
It's pretty wild.
What? My average is like a viewer. you know, speaking of tabletop, really random, I'm going to go see a screening of Harmon's Quest on the 18th of this month.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you guys are all dorky.
I put in for tickets, but I haven't got the email about tickets on that one, so.
I haven't played D&D in a very long time, but the most recent tabletop game I ever played was Sheriff of Nottingham, and it's actually one of my favorite games now.
Wait, can you guys explain what Harmon's Quest is for people who don't play?
I'll let you do this, Ohan.
Basically, Dan Harmon has his own show/campaign. It essentially just turned D&D into a comedy show, you know? It's the same guy who writes and produces Rick and Morty.
He did Community back in the day.
Yeah, that too. I actually saw him. I went to a screening of The Soup, and the whole cast of Community was there too, and so was he.
Oh wow! The whole cast.
Yeah, okay. I took a picture with Ken Jeong because of Hangover, but I didn't know who Dan Harmon was at the time, so I didn't really bother. I was like, oh, some fat dude with a beard, whatever.
Yeah, you thought that would be kind of common at a place like that.
Yeah, now I'm just like, oh, I kind of want a picture with him if I see him.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Out of curiosity, by the way, does everyone here actually have a YouTube channel? Because I think at least three of us do.
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't use it.
Oh, okay. You don't actively upload, or you just have never...
No, really... I definitely don't actively upload. I've thought about it, but I would make a new channel if I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, technically my channel is... I kind of converted it to a channel where we post extras for... the first podcast, because I didn't want to bother with starting a new one. Are any of you guys like seriously trying to make it, or I know Ohan's actually doing like the daily grind with it. It's pretty cool. Or not necessarily, I don't know if it's daily, but
it's as daily as I possibly can get. You know, some days I'm just lazy.
Yeah.
I hate that crap. I'm trying to do vlogs, something simple that I can just hit record and hit, you know, the stop button and then upload it like as fast as I can, you know.
That's kind of what he's doing now. Like, I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he stopped being kind of he started being actually a decent content creator.
Well, it's weird to be famous, or not famous is the wrong word, to be like, you know, noticed and to be a big YouTuber. It's like, I don't know if you've heard of Boogie 2988.
Yeah, he's someone I want to get on the show at some point.
Yeah, so he's a great vlogger and reviewer. Like, I love watching him, but his claim to fame was him acting like a complete and utter dumbass. Some fat dude smashing his Guitar Hero guitar and everyone reacting thinking it was real, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he probably has an issue, but I think I've heard he has an issue, but like...
I think that's kind of from back in the day, though.
Yeah.
When... there was this thing on YouTube where a lot of people would be doing that kind of stuff, and the gag was like, people like what's his name, Dax Flame, they would just be doing goofy comedy in which they were portraying these like ridiculous characters, but people didn't really know yet that it was a joke. So I think that's kind of partially what, you know, led to his success.
Yeah,
is that, but people thought
that was that era of the freak out era.
Yeah, and people didn't know that they were
Francis,
trolling.
Like the McJugger Nuggets, I think was his name, who did like the kid who kept having his Xbox games destroyed and him freaking out.
What about the kid like who got his World of Warcraft account suspended?
Oh, that was McJugger Nuggets.
Oh, okay. So it's
that was that same guy. Yeah.
And people didn't know that it was staged at the time. Mm-mm. So
I'm not trying to, you know, get viewers from just that. I just want to just keep doing what I'm doing and hopefully get subscribers. I get like one subscriber like every like 10 videos, which is slow as hell, but whatever. I got a friend, and it also depends on your demographic, because kids are kind of easier to grab, you know, interest from.
You like to grab a kids, friend, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, what are you doing to promote the channel?
I've just been posting it, and I have a few friends that, you know, post it. I posted on his Discord and mooch off of his community, but my Instagram has about 3,000 followers, so I kind of try to share as much as I can on there.
Can you please do that with your appearances on this show? Thanks.
What? No, I did. I've been sharing story on Instagram.
Oh, great. We have actually gotten a decent amount of listeners.
Yeah,
so.
I haven't done a solid like post, but I've been sharing it on my story. I really wish I had like 10,000 followers because then I could just be like, oh, swipe up to go directly to the podcast. You know?
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, that's the problem.
But that's like the goal.
The
you
coveted
know?
Swipe.
But yeah, it's tough. I mean, a friend of mine, he was trying to figure out how to get viewers on YouTube, and he started streaming and acting like a complete child, streaming Hello Neighbor. And in a matter of months, he got to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then now,
I guess
that
you got to ask yourself if that's the kind of fame that you want, though.
Yeah, and he got to he's at 400,000 subscribers now, and it's only been like probably a year, maybe a little less than a year.
I think what you have to do is
he's stuck playing that game, though.
Yeah, is he going to run into the Filthy Frank problem? Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah,
yeah, where. Joji wanted to stop doing Filthy Frank and people like, but that was what he was famous for. Like he, I think he successfully navigated it, but.
Well, he completely abandoned Filthy Frank.
Yeah, but he's like, I worry about people like really pigeonholing themselves into like one specific role like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that'll last.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we were talking about Boogie and then completely got off topic. What's
in the same ballpark?
What were you trying to say about him though? Like,
no, that the fact that he got a crap ton of viewers because he acted like a complete idiot and got like millions of views and became viral from being this fat slob that like smashed his Guitar Hero guitar and just yells at the TV, you know? And then he's got, anytime he rants, he brings out Francis. And anytime he's like a normal human being, he's, you know, he's reviewing or talking about some gaming topic, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of came for the Boogie, or came for the Francis, stayed for the Boogie.
Yeah, which is kind of weird because people bring out characters like Filthy Frank. He brings up a lot of points that a lot of people get mad about if it's talked about. But if it's in a character, you know, it's obviously it's something that he truly like Joji would probably truly believe in. But since he's doing it as a character, people think it's okay.
Well, I think he exaggerates it a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, but he makes a lot of solid points, and it's his videos are hilarious, but he makes a lot of solid points.
Also, I just wanted to bring it up. It's just really strange whenever I think about it. I remember it every couple months for some reason, just pops into my head. You guys are aware that he's the person who originated the Harlem Shake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Filthy Frank was responsible for the Harlem Shake. It's just so weird. Like, those two worlds feel like they shouldn't collide, but they do.
The internet's a weird, magical place.
Yep. Joe, I think you dropped off the radar. Do you have anything to contribute, or I don't want to hog the mic the whole night?
Oh, you know, I'm just listening. If I have something to say, I'll just shout it out.
Yeah, just start talking louder than any of us, because...
If something comes to my mind, I'll just suddenly... wherever we are in conversation, speak over everybody. I guess that's the way that normally it's done.
Yeah. Well, hey, okay, so, Dick, I have a task for you, and it's something that I think you might be capable of, but I'm someone who in the past has actually been quite critical of tabletop RPGs, and I'm curious, as someone who's quite the fan, what would you say to someone who had at times perceived it as kind of like a hobby for people who are kind of like socially awkward or something, just didn't have a good opinion of it? What would you suggest in terms of like trying to maybe change their outlook on it?
For a second there, I didn't know who you were talking to.
Well, I called you Dick.
You said Dick, and I was like, are you just calling one of the other guys a dick? I don't know what's happening.
Well,
here.
Sometimes that's true. Yeah. For this episode, it'll be you.
That's a really good question, though. I didn't have that growing up because I was always that weird, awkward, nerdy kid.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like growing up, I didn't even have the friends to play it with. But I think a lot of that perspective change, I was mentioning earlier, there's a show, Critical Role, that is a show of voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like eight of the least awkward, you know, socially awkward people that you will ever see. A little socially awkward. They're still actors. They're still nerds. But
are there
you know, they have
big names on there.
on that, probably the biggest one is Ashley Johnson. She's the actress who was in The Last of Us.
Yeah, yeah, Last of Us. I do want to get her on here as well at some point.
So she's on there on and off as a character. The Dungeon Master is...
Do you know her?
I don't know any of these people. Bummer. The Dungeon Master is Matt Mercer, who does a ton of video games. Like, pretty much every like video. Or he's the voice of McCree. Them. No, he's the voice of McCree in Overwatch.
That name sounds really familiar. Does he do
McCree?
Anything?
Yeah, almost, it's an Overwatch character.
No,
yeah, he does
cowboy.
Voice acting is his main gig, but I think he does some other everything D&D related that you'll see on the internet. He's involved in probably. He's regarded as the best one.
Best
but I think seeing the best game, you know, dungeon master out there, and he gets put on this pedestal, which is good. He is really good at it. But I've talked to him a little bit, and he will be the first to tell everyone else, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just another dungeon master. But I think maybe seeing that, I think that's what did it for me, was seeing these people who are, you know, they're kind of in the in crowd. They're kind of the cool kids. It doesn't seem as socially weird. It doesn't seem like this is such an oddball thing to see when you see these like people who are accepted by the communities mm-hmm. that they're in playing and just enjoying and having a good time. I mean, that's a sample, but as just like talking to someone, like, I'm not really sure how to convince someone that it's not as nerdy or as, you know, for these outcast kind of people, except to say, you know, just give it a try. Come play with me once, see how you like it, and then go from there, because I think experience is the best form of getting to know what something really is.
I imagine it's something along the lines of, depending on the players who are actually participating, the experience may vary, because I've heard some horror stories, but I guess I haven't heard a lot of the opposite.
I've heard the horror stories, but haven't experienced those.
Myself. I can speak a little bit about playing D&D for the first time. I played in high school a little bit for on and off a few years or what have you. Never a whole campaign, but pretty much the whole campaign at times. And it's really confusing, but then once you get into it, it goes by much faster. Once everything doesn't have to be explained to you, and then it's really fun. And you just are thinking of ideas for the next campaign and what you want to do, and it could get really exciting, you know? And there's Star Wars versions of it. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool to have, like, I don't know, even a Simpsons or Family Guy version of it, or Rick and Morty, let's say.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
One of the cool things...
I mean, it could be done.
Yeah, one of the cool things about tabletop RPGs like Dungeons & Dragons is that you're really only limited by your imagination.
And the D20 roll.
Well, in that case, Chris, I'm going to be super limited, so that doesn't sound appealing to me. What is... Okay, I always hear D20. Is that just like a 20-sided die? Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. And so why is it so many sides?
Possibilities. Like, that's a scale of 1 to 20. There's also like a 10-sided die or 12-sided die, depending on what you're rolling for, if it's like attack, defense.
Are there regularly 20 options for any?
It's more of like a sliding scale, usually.
Oh,
it's usually not like 1 is this, 2 is this. It's like, how much damage did you take, or how good are you at a task?
Critical fail.
Yeah. It kind of creates a kind of a different person, like, breaks up the possibilities of success into smaller increments, where like a 6-sided die, you have 6 numbers you can roll.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, if you roll a 6, then you succeed, you did good. But with a 20-sided die, so you can say, oh, if you roll over a 15, then you succeed. So then you have 5 chances to succeed and 15 to fail, and it just gives a little more possibilities.
Okay.
And some math stuff. I'm not good at math, but it's there.
Is any of this automated? At some point, by the way, does anyone do this online or on a computer?
There are a lot of different tools for automating things. Like, there's dice roller apps mm-hmm. for phones. There's different ways to play online. There's an app called Roll20.
Is it official, or is it just something the fans
it's
do?
Just, I think it's more something fans do. The apps, one called Roll20 and one called Fantasy Grounds, are apps that were created by fans, but then kind of adopted by the companies to make semi-official products. And D&D has an app called D&D Beyond, which is a pretty cool website. And if they're hearing this, you know, I'm okay with, you know, free stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hey, anyone listening to this, if you want to send us free objects,
none of us are stocked up on D&D stuff.
That's a thing.
We all could use stuff.
Or just like anyone at all.
Here's my Amazon wish list. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yep.
My YouTube channel.
Everything's on the link tree.
Let's change the subject for a little bit. Just, I'm guessing this is, I feel like this is a pretty safe bet. Are you also a gamer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Have there been any titles that have come across your radar recently that you've been into?
That I'm like really into?
Well, I mean, you can decide the... Wait,
can I guess?
Go for it.
Diablo Immortals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's gonna be my favorite game of all time.
Okay, I'm going to say something a little controversial because I know the community's attitude about Diablo Immortals.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it because, see, I didn't even watch BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with it.
I was busy. Like, I'm 33 years old. I work full-time. I don't have time to play games as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear about, like, oh, they're putting Diablo on the mobile app. I'm like, cool. I can, you know, play if I'm, you know, on the bus. Or I can play, you know, when I'm sitting at work doing nothing. So I'm not opposed to it. But I understand the community's outrage and them
I
not
don't.
Wanting
the,
that.
No, I don't understand the community's outrage either. I guess because they've wanted a Diablo 4, at least a remaster of Diablo 2 for the last 10 years, and they haven't gotten it. Especially because Diablo 3 was fairly mediocre. I don't like playing mobile games because of battery life, phone power, and, you know, it's just my attention span.
What if it's that new Asus, though?
Don't taunt me, man. That's 900 bucks that I want to spend so badly, but I can't afford it.
Okay, let's. Can we have a rational discussion on this topic, by the way?
But first, what do you guys think of the computer brand iBuyPower?
It's good.
That's what I have.
Never heard of it.
It's horseshit, dude.
No, it's during Black Friday.
I don't even know what that is. Like
It's kind of like Alienware. Like, you know, you can go on their website and customize your own PC build, and then
you can. I just got mine at Costco.
I just built my own.
Oh yeah, you can go on their website and actually do a custom built laptop, computer, desktop, and send it to you. It's the prices aren't actually that bad, and I'd recommend just doing it during Black Friday.
I like it.
Though.
Well, I mean, I just built my own at that point. Like, I'm not trying to be like elitist here, but it's like it's cheaper.
But yeah, but you don't. Not everyone's tech savvy, you know. Some people are like, "Oh yeah, this costs more money. I'm gonna put this."
Yeah,
on my computer.
I mean, like, I can upgrade my computer, but I can't build one. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah, Joe, you could.
I've tried.
It's literally just a game of plugging things in. It's,
if I had someone there to show me, I could.
I can help. I'll help. Yeah,
sometime
we'll
build a computer. Yeah, no, I'm down. And iBuyPower, if you're listening, we will all take free stuff.
Yeah, this episode might be sponsored by iBuyPower if they listen to us. And get back to us.
We're just going to get all the sponsorships.
Yeah.
Chris,
Blizzard, too.
Preferably Asus.
Yeah.
Squarespace.
Can I
Bitcoin.
What?
Mint Mobile. Yeah. Bitcoin. No, Dogecoin for
Ooh,
Joe.
Doge. I love Doge.
And DollarShaveClub.com.
DollarShaveClub.
Doge is down right now. Doge is on sale.
Blue Apron.
Did you say Mockberg?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so
Mockberg.
Actually, I think we strayed away a little too much because we just asked him what games
did.
He plays, and I don't think he's answered yet.
Now, let's talk about Diablo Immortal, though, for a second. Let's
have a rational discussion about Diablo Immortal.
Okay, so I say this, by the way. I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I was a heavy WoW player for many, many years. And I played Diablo on PS4 for quite a long time. And I would consider myself... Oh, there's a siren in the background. So that's going to be fun to try to edit out.
Just leave it in.
Sure. Okay, just for color. Anyway, I guess I would be considered somewhat of a Blizzard fanboy, and I feel like it's pretty obvious that if they're developing Diablo Immortal, that the people who are doing that are not the people responsible for Diablo 4. So they have nothing to do with each other, so it's not like that game is delaying Diablo 4, so what's the problem? Like, if you don't like it, just don't play it. Does anyone have like a dissenting opinion here? Or?
No.
I mean, people want see, like, there was features like in Diablo 3 where it was only 4-player co-op, and now they're adding 6-player co-op to a mobile game rather than, you know, making like a full blown game. I mean, during
E3, how do you know that they're not making it though?
They might be. They might be. You know, next year they'll probably announce it. Who knows?
They probably are.
But the thing is, though, it just makes them look bad right now. But during E3, I used to be a big Gears of War fan, and during E3, they first announced a Gears of War mobile game, And I was mad. I was like, what is this crap? And then they announced two other games on top of it. You know, Gears of War Tactics, which plays like XCOM, and Gears of War 5. So you had the main game, a spinoff game, and a mobile game. All announced at the same time. You know, and I think everybody would be okay with a Diablo game if they got a main title to go with it.
You think maybe just like a teaser, like, oh, Diablo 4 is coming at some point.
But Bethesda also, you know,
they did
revealed
that with Elder Scrolls, yeah.
Elder Scrolls, and then they showed off Elder Scrolls 6, Doom, Starfield, Fallout. You know, it's not just, oh, hey. Because they were legit pranking their audience with all these crappy Skyrim spinoffs and fake Elder Scrolls games, and then all of a sudden, boom, Elder Scrolls 6.
Well, the Alexa game was actually real, by the way.
No, I know. And there's also the Amazon fridge. No, sorry, Samsung smart fridge. That wasn't for real, I think.
So okay. A couple points about Immortals. I think...
Immortal.
I think maybe the... Immortal. I think maybe the biggest point of contention there might be their quote where they presumed, "Don't you all have phones?"
Yeah, that was a poor move. PR-wise, the actual announcement was terrible. By the way, Ohan, do you want me to link to your video where you basically talked about all this on the description?
If you'd like.
Yeah, because you actually did a kind of more in-depth look into that, so... Dick, do you have any dissenting opinions or anything to add?
No, I kind of agree. I said earlier, like, I think the community has a right to be upset. And I just think, and I want to clarify that, is I think everyone has a right to feel what they feel at any time. Like, no company is above, what's the word?
Reproach.
Criticism,
yeah.
Reproach, all those, like, just because they're a company, just because everyone's a fan of it, doesn't mean people can't say, no, we don't like this. So I think from that standpoint, the gamers are fine. They're being noisy.
Yeah.
And Blizzard has every bit of right to say, okay, we understand you're mad, but we're still not going to change our plan here. We're making this game. Here's what we're having. And then the gamers don't have to get it. Blizzard doesn't have to, you know, make their games. That's just the nature of things. But I'm probably going to download it and play it. Probably not going to get in on the microtransactions, because that's always annoying, but I'll give it a shot.
The game's going to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Blizzard, though. I kind of feel like...
Just watch the ads for the in-game currency.
There's ads for the in-game currency?
That's usually how mobile games work these days. Is if you want 2 or 3
I would really
coins.
Doubt they would use ads
as
Blizzard.
So. Yeah, Hearthstone doesn't.
The thing about Blizzard is... I feel like they've had some major screw-ups, but they're probably going to make a decent product. Like, they're probably going to do the best they can with what they've got. I'm not saying it's going to be amazing. I'm not going to say that it's going to be Diablo quality. I think you're right about fans having every right to feel how they feel, but...
I've never seen a bad game come across my radar from Blizzard.
Yeah, but... At the same time, I feel like maybe in a couple days, a couple weeks, maybe even a couple months, a lot of people might come back and look at their initial rage and think, maybe I was a little over the top with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Definitely that could happen.
Well, this was a very nuanced discussion on that. I think we kind of covered everything. And
I mean, in that vein, just side note, I wasn't too keen on Hearthstone when they announced that. I was like, what is this? But now I'm like, hey, it's not bad. I enjoy it.
Magic Arena is better.
I haven't played that one.
Oh.
So now I have to go check that one.
It's free, too, and it's pretty good.
Are you starting to win games, Ohan, yet, or is that still kind of not...
In MTG Arena?
Yeah.
I won my one and only draft that I played, because it's kind of like gambling, so you have to... I dropped, like, 5,000 gold, which you can earn in-game to play.
Oh, I thought you were going to say $5,000 there for a second. I was like, wow, that's more than even Joe would invest.
So, basically, there's the gem currency, which is real-life money, and then there's the... like the coins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which you earn from playing the game. So what you can do, you don't even have to spend a dime in that game, which I love. What you can do is you can drop 5,000 currency, play the draft, you win 7 games in a row, you get 900 gems, which is essentially like, I believe, $9. And then you can just save up your coin again and then do a draft game. And depending on, and if you win 7 games again, that's another 900, you know.
Okay.
gems that you can do. And then you can spend those gems on an actual draft game with gems and win even more, you know? And it's like you can just keep earning cards without having to spend any money, you know?
It's, so it's free unless you suck, basically.
Kinda, yeah. Actually, yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm mediocre at the game and I actually won every single game. Like,
okay. And, so you're improving, I guess.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. All right, Dick, we didn't actually let you answer the question from about 45 minutes ago, I guess.
Do you actually go by been... Dick, or is Lars just games... calling you Dick?
No, he's just calling
you,
me that.
What do you Lars actually go by?
I just go by Richard.
I'm
super boring that way.
I figured it wasn't Dick.
Well, just
that's why they call Lars a Big Dick Lars, because he's a big dick himself.
He mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
That's why we call him Big Dick Lars.
So I was like, it's not a competition.
Dude, Dick's a nickname.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to clear that up.
I like when all five of us talk at one time so the audience can't make heads or tails of it. That's great.
I think it'll be fine.
Okay. So
I was just saying, I let them know a bit before we got you on air. I let them know a bit of your YouTube history as well with Dick Comics.
Oh, with Dick Comics.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I was using that.
You do go by Dick.
So, probably my all-time favorite game of the last year has been Elite Dangerous, which I'm not sure if you guys know about it. It's a super boring space flight sim.
Boring.
So slow. Well, it's boring because there's not a lot to do in it, and it's just kind of a grind, but it's called Elite Dangerous. I love it because I sit here, I pop on my Oculus, I have my joysticks, and it's like I'm flying in outer
space. It doesn't sound
like
it's boring to you, though.
And I think that's fun.
Wait, Elite?
Elite Dangerous.
Elite Dangerous. Richard, is that the one that you posted about like a year ago where somebody was stranded?
Yeah. It's like the whole game, all the cool stuff comes out of the community where Chris mentioned a year ago, some pilot, a player, decided to go so far away from the center of the galaxy. And in this game, they built a scale, like, replica of the Milky Way. So there's 400 billion stars, and you can fly to pretty much all of them. We haven't done it yet because 400 billion is a lot. But someone went out, and they flew from the furthest planet in the system. They flew directly away from the center of the galaxy, of the Milky Way, for 48 hours straight until they were about to run out of fuel. And then they went and they posted on Reddit this role-playing goodbye letter about like, hey, I'm leaving. I'm about to, you know, self-destruct out here. And it's been fun. And then this player group that exists called the Fuel Rats decided, no, we're going to rescue you. So over the next 3 days after that, there was this big movement with a lot of players basically putting in hours and hours. And I'm talking days of work. Just to get to that one player who flew 48 hours out of the galaxy to give them some fuel so they could get back to the center and back to civilization. And it's just this weird moments, wasn't planned by the developers. It just happened. The players made it. And that's what I like about the game is the weird stuff like that
that's
comes
really
up.
That's really cool.
So that sounds like something that would be really, really fun if you're into that kind of thing. And it, on the other hand, he could have also spent that time talking to a woman. So that's, have you just been playing that exclusively or what's the...
No, that's been one of my bigger focuses, but I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4, like modding that one and getting into...
You're not allowed to like Fallout 4, according to the internet, so...
I can like any of the Fallout games.
I really enjoyed Fallout 4.
Fallout 4, I'm looking forward to 76. I know it doesn't have a great... reviews after the beta. I only got to play an hour of the beta, but I'm looking forward to it still because I just love the Fallout universe.
I'm iffy on 76, but it'll depend on how it pans out for me, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm willing to give them a chance and see if they can pull something interesting off. Ohan, have you played it?
76?
Yeah.
No. Is it open beta? Like, do I need to pre-order the game to play it?
Today was the last day of closed beta. So it was like you had to pre-order it to get a beta code. And then on top of that, they only had little windows of time when you could play, which was really stupid. So like today, they opened it up for 2 hours. Oh, I think tomorrow that you can play for a 4-hour window. But it's really dumb.
It seems like not enough time.
That's why I only got to play.
To figure out the problems that people report. I don't know. Like,
Bethesda makes broken games.
No.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's like, wasn't it their first beta attempt? So it was like, here, we don't know what we're doing with this. See how you like it. But it wasn't enough to really get a good idea of the game.
Didn't an update for it delete the entire beta for a minute?
Yeah, that happened.
So people had to start over?
Yeah. So I got home one day all excited to play. I load it up and it starts re-downloading the entire beta, all 47 gigs.
Did you lose all of
it? It was
everything?
A slow server. Well, I hadn't got to play it yet.
Ah.
But it basically took all the time that I had taken to preload it, because you pre-download it, then when the beta starts, you can play it. And it erased everything, so I had to reinstall it, which the servers that day, it took 5 hours to do 4 gigs of downloads. Yikes. Which is really slow for me.
That's and really
then
slow for anyone.
By then, the beta was over, and I couldn't play it anyway. So I was like, well, that was a wasted day.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't happy about that.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Bethesda probably feels the same, because they run those so they can get testing in from players.
Yeah.
Now, Joe's played basically every single hour he could of the Fallout 76 beta. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm much more interested in... I actually had a question about Elite Dangerous. What do you do with the solar systems? It's just you find things that people have never done before and build things there and just colonize them?
No. You actually don't get to do any of that, which would be awesome to be able to do. I actually, when I play, I mainly go around and do like dogfights, bounty hunting, finding NPCs that are wanted in different systems, and I shoot them down and make money off of that.
You get to mac it with hot alien then, space babes?
No, the aliens right now are like bug creatures, and they're all very hostile. So
yeah, still,
don't
though,
get
I mean,
macked
do they know that they
babes.
Have a bounty against them?
Yeah, they know.
So they're expecting it. They're like, somebody's going to come and shoot them down.
Oh, yeah. That's why we have to go to like the dangerous areas to find
the elite dangerous areas.
There you go.
Yep.
Do you ever have to fight other players for bounties?
Sometimes. The system they have, I think it's as long as you shoot it, then you can get the bounty as long as you hit the NPC. But you can also do PvP stuff. There's a lot of players who do go bounty hunting and hunt other players who have bounties.
Could the players break the game from within?
Like find exploits that will make it less fun for other people?
Yeah. Is that possible, or did they kind of run a tight ship?
It is possible. They do have, sometimes they have these things called community goals, where they just make a goal, like bring umpteen million tons of this item to this one space station. And some players, the griefers, will go out there and they'll just shoot down ships who are arriving at the station to drop off their payload.
And it destroys the cargo?
Yeah, it destroys that's the cargo pretty, or jettisons
that's like,
it.
That's like what a troll would do, but that's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. It's really annoying, but it's supported by the game. I mean, they can do that. But the flip side of that is by doing that, they get bounties on their head. And then other players can kill them and collect the bounties. So it creates kind of an ecosystem of killing and death and destruction.
So is it like a death sentence to have a bounty on your head?
In the wrong areas, yeah.
What happens if you die?
Pretty much. You just respawn at another station, and you lose your ship, and you have to pay insurance costs, which, depending on the ship, can be anywhere from like 10,000 credits in-game up to like 10 million credits in-game. So it really depends on the size of ship you have.
All this nerdy economic stuff, it reminds me, have you ever heard of this game called... I don't know if it's Eve or EVE.
Eve Online? Yeah.
It sounds like that from what you're describing.
It's a kind of a dumbed down version.
So it's just like less complicated, less needlessly overdone.
Have you played Spore?
Yeah. I have not played Spore.
Spore's good.
Have you heard of Spore?
Yeah.
I heard of it. That's that sounds pretty old.
Yeah,
though,
it's pretty old. You're really dating yourself there.
But I've heard of it.
Is anybody still waiting for Star Citizen? Still has that small beacon of hope?
That's never going to happen.
Beacon?
Dude.
I think that's less likely than Half-Life 3 at this point.
No, that's BS, dude. At least there's progress and development with Star
Citizen.
I'll
bet you $50 in 50 years.
Hey, no, earlier this year, Star Citizen was at 3.0. Now it's at 3.3, all right? Just there's time, and there's...
They're going to get there.
No, I mean, I actually bought the game, and then I returned it because... Well, it's because it's too laggy of a game to play. Like,
well,
I have a GTX Titan X.
That, but
Why can't we all just be good with like solitaire and Minesweeper and pinball?
Well, because we enjoy more diverse and enjoyable experiences.
Well, that's what roller
real games.
That's what Roller Coaster Tycoon is for.
You primitive pleb.
We've come too far already. We can't go back. We've
past all mm-hmm. that.
We've opened up Pandora's
VR.
Not all of us played Headball all the time, Joe.
Headball is it's a neat game. It's fun to play. I assume the players I'm playing against are real people, but I still don't know for sure.
It's one of those. There's a certain type of mobile game which has like the dorky like cartoon graphics. You guys know that type where like the main character is smiling on the app icon, that kind of stuff,
like a Dino Dash kind of character.
Yeah, it's an abortion of a game. I don't know why he plays it, but it's his main thing, I guess.
Oh, it's a real game.
Yeah, Headball 2.
Oh, I Headball. I thought you guys were making like joking, like
I
ball
wish
in a
we
cup
were joking
kind of
about
thing.
It, yeah.
Oh, now I have to find
Headball
that game.
2. It's pretty
Headball
fun.
2.
Watches Dick becomes like the biggest Headball 2 player in the world now.
Yeah, I'm changing my YouTube channel. Forget D&D. I'm just going to get into Headball 2.
Heard it here first.
Like, hey, YouTube, today on Headball 2.
Yep.
We're playing
a billion
some Headball.
Views overnight.
There's been a lot of you heard it firsts on the show lately. Like, in the last episode, Josh Newman basically came out and said he's going to run in 2020. So we're breaking new ground, I guess. I'm pleased with it.
So you made it. The show made it.
Yes.
Kirsten Collins was on the show,
well,
and she said,
I made it.
She said she's going to relax
I
more.
Was the one who edited it and supported
oh, yeah.
it.
Lars.
I made it. But yeah.
Lars.
Yeah.
Why were you putting me on blast on Instagram?
I put you on blast?
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, by the way, Ohan
Kirsten.
Thinks you're pretty.
Oh, Kirsten Collins. Oh, because it was really, really wholesome, and she's really wholesome.
It was.
And I knew that she would react to it very wholesomely.
Oh.
Yeah, if it had been any other situation, I wouldn't have done that. It was just amusing.
But she is objectively pretty.
Yeah, she's a babe. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, she's a... Well, I mean, when you're famous, too, I mean, like, it's very easy to be attractive, I guess.
And now she knows who you are.
Yeah, you're on the map.
You have a shot?
Maybe...
What map are you talking about?
Just the map
the ballpark?
Of...
Ballpark? Just like, the ballpark?
Yeah, the map of the ballpark. What are you talking about, Joe?
Angel Stadium?
That's it.
Yeah. Ah. Anaheim Angels.
Who are not
Los
renewing
Angeles.
The lease at the stadium, apparently.
Apparently. Chris, do you still exist?
I still exist.
Okay. We were going to talk about other games, though. Has anyone been playing anything else recently? Or I have. I don't know. Like, have you guys?
I've been binging League of Legends again.
Nerd.
Dude, even Dunkey has quit
League of Legends. Come on, man.
Yeah. I quit for a year or two.
Is that game free to play?
I wanted to hit gold. Yes.
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 They have microtransactions for cosmetics and stuff.
Yeah, it's like Overwatch, but... I think, with that. Like, I don't think you get any advantages.
Similar. You still have to pay for, like, heroes on League?
You get in-game currency that you can grind.
So if I went into League and I was like...
Don't. No. Don't even... Like, if you haven't started now, I hear you shouldn't at all.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay away.
Yeah. It's like
unless
cigarettes.
You're joining Ohan's team.
Okay. Yeah, what's the new thing to
join? Yeah, I'm not trying to shit on it. Like, I hear the community is just really bad and...
Where's the community gone?
To League of Legends?
Yeah.
To hell, apparently.
To hell. How that company is... Seems to be purely surviving off of the esports scene and nothing else. I mean, the game, obviously, people still buy skins, but they really need another IP. Like, it's been too long.
Well, they got one of the guys from World of Warcraft to switch over. So, I mean, they have the talent behind it. They should.
There. Next is going to be League of Legends World, the hot new MMO.
I would love a great new MMO, by the way.
What they've been doing, they've been making like these mini game modes. Like they recently had a PvE game mode, which was called Odyssey, and you played as certain characters.
Oh, is that Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
No, but maybe they saw the marketing opportunity with the name.
Ah.
But it's about these four champions that all get space skins, and then they become basically space bounty hunters, kind of like the game that Richard was just talking about.
XCOM?
Elite Dangerous?
Elite Dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, so basically you're these traveling space bounty hunter pirate kind of people, and you crash land on an alien planet, and then you
great
end up fighting all these aliens.
Oh, you cut out. Sorry, I thought that you were done. Never mind. Okay.
No, is they just have featured game modes for like 2 weeks to a month usually, or else like on the weekends they'll usually they'll give you like a different slice of the game that's not the usual PvP that everybody watches on the esports channels and everything.
What do you, Ohan, just out of curiosity, do you kind of agree with the assessment that they're surviving on esports? Wait, you were the one who said that in the first place. Never mind. Okay. Yeah.
The game was the biggest game in the world, like 7 years ago, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then Overwatch and Fortnite, PUBG, like, you know, the next bit, MOBAs were the big thing, and then the next big thing is Battle Royale.
Yeah.
You know, so
Overwatch actually got me off of League.
Yeah, and it happened to a lot of us and a lot of people. I mean, I still jump on League from time to time, but I'm not as committed as I used to be. That, and I still regret spending all the money I did on that game.
Overwatch or League?
Yeah, for sure.
League. I only spent maybe like 20, 30 bucks on Overwatch. League of Legends was $1,300.
I only $1,300
on League of Legends.
Yes. Wow.
They have over
a span of like
probably
6 years.
Around 100 still champions. Okay. And Whew. Each one of them has probably an average of 5 skins that are probably an average of $8. So that's, if you want one champion's set of skins, that's $40 already on average. And then multiply that by like the 50 you might get.
Yeah, I own like over like 200 like and 50 skins in that game.
Could you sell the account?
I want to.
Okay. Any interested buyers, hit them up.
And if somebody wanted to contribute to your cause, how would they
with or without retrieving your account?
eBay.
Oh. No, I meant like what's your social media link or something?
Social media.
I actually do have a Patreon, but I don't know if that's a good. I always feel weird about people giving me money.
Well, they can give us the money instead if you prefer.
Yeah, give them patreon.com
/patreon.com/Ohan. It's like the easiest link in the world.
It's pretty cool that you got that because it's kind of an uncommon name here.
Yeah.
So, does anyone else have a Patreon they want to shout out? Because they can, I guess, might as well.
Patreon.com/thefirstpodcast if you guys want to support the show. It's
first
purely
podcast
a labor
ever.
Of love. God damn it, Lars.
Dick, you got one?
I just sent a bunch of money to the first podcast.
Oh, damn it, Dick. That's a funny thing to say. Damn it, Dick. That rolls off the tongue well.
Damn it, Dick. But,
damn it, Dick. All right. So patreon.com/firstpodcastever. This show is a labor of love. But if you want to make a contribution, every dollar helps. I'm going to go ahead and donate $1 there now. And yeah.
All right. Yay. Now you don't have to because we already got $1.
Yep.
Thanks, Lars.
Right back into my own pocket because I'm the one.
Thanks, Lars.
Anyway, so we were talking about, is anyone playing any other titles other than, well, Chris said League. What about you, Joe?
Call of Duty.
Oh, the new Battle Royale mode.
I actually touched that mode like once. I actually really like the PvP mode.
Okay. Call of Duty, so people know.
Did you guys
know
see
what's up with that?
Fortnite fired back with a team deathmatch mode?
Did you say fork knife?
All right, let's rewind.
All right, let's rewind.
So, guys, we did it. We reached 250,000 subscribers, 250,000 subscribers, and still growing.
Trademark that.
Trademark fork knife.
No one steal fork knife.
Yeah, that's ours. That's the first podcast now.
I have this is like insanely off topic because I was just browsing the web just now. You guys are any of you guys into cars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reasonably.
So
yeah.
I like to drive them.
Typically, the future of cars, from all signs, are pointing to electric, you know?
Yes.
And I just saw this supercar called the Devil 16 with a 12.6 liter V16 engine. And I'm just like, this is like the opposite. It's like a 180 on like the...
I just looked it up and I want it.
What is
That's
it?
That's about all I have to say.
On like the eco-friendly scale.
Yeah. You said double something? Or devil?
Devil. Like D-E-V-E-L, though.
Devil
it's
what?
It's a ridiculous like looking car, but 16. It's really cool.
Yeah, it looks it's got sick, a balance. But that's so dumb.
I feel like it'd be very strange to drive down the street with it. People would think you're like a Bond villain or something.
I wonder how loud that gets, actually.
What's the the range on it? Like 16 miles? Because it uses so much power. 16
miles off a tank.
1 gallon to the quarter inch. No,
you take it goes up to 300 miles an hour, but only for a second, and then you have to charge it.
Gallons?
Kind of reminds me of the supercar in Midnight Club 2.
What is that for the audience who has no idea what randomly you just brought up?
Midnight Club 2, I think it was a late 90s street racing game. And after
I think it was early 2000s, actually. I think it was on PS2, right?
Yeah, I think PS2 sounds
PSP
right.
PSP as well, I believe. The Dub Edition.
Yeah, Dub Edition was the third one.
Oh,
but,
okay.
In the second one... I think they had like cheat codes for it, but also I believe after you beat the game, you could go around in free roam, which was a really fun thing to play with your brothers, your cousins, your friends when you were like 12 or 13, because you could just like literally drive around Los Angeles or Tokyo or Paris in this supercar. You had, you know, sports bikes, you had all these different tuners and muscle cars that you could just drive around in a free roam through LA. You could set the traffic and
at will.
I don't know about at will, but you could just restart the game and then you're back in free mode. And then it was a cool game for me to play as a kid, because I was like 9 or 10 at the time when we got it, and basically my cousins would come over.
Oh, so like a couple years ago, yeah.
I'd be, yep, yeah, I'm 14, guys.
Too old for Joe. Got,
but yeah, we'd usually like role play. Oh yeah, this is my house in the LA River, and this is the garage that you can drive through and stuff. And then like somebody else would have a house in like the slums of LA. And then, like, we'd go and drive to each other's houses, or like, we'd go.
That's a pretty pick sad up our dad fantasy at the LA to live airport. In the slums of LA, though.
Well, there was a nice little drive-in that the motorcycle could fit in. So, like, in the alleyway.
Oh, so it was just a matter of convenience. Like, or...
That's the ultimate fantasy: is good parking in LA.
that's actually reasonable. I get it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play that. Watch Dogs, by the way, or Watch Dogs 2?
Only the first one.
No.
Oh, or no.
Okay.
Did I?
Because I was going to talk
Is
about
that the hacking one?
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Cyrix from that game, but if you guys haven't played it, then say Libby.
I think my little brothers have.
By the way, heavy recommendation if it's ever on a Steam sale. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Easily. Everything that sucked about Watch Dogs 1, they changed. So, highly recommended.
You know,
yeah, we'll have to check it out.
One controversy about in the gaming realm is that there aren't very many unique games anymore because they follow the same formulas that sell.
Well, there's indie games that don't follow the same.
Well, if you're talking about AAA indie, games, yeah.
Yeah, the AAA games, sure. Indie market's very diverse. But like, there was this one game that caught my interest. I used to play this game called Jaws Unleashed for the PS2, where you actually play as Jaws and have like a skill tree and level up and all that. And there's a game coming out called Maneater, which is a third-person game where you play as a tiger shark, and it's a shark RPG, like a single-player RPG where you play as a shark.
Oh, they should have called it Shark
about that one.
Yeah, I don't know, but it looks absolutely stunning. I'm still waiting for that game to go on sale or actually be out, because it's still not out
yet.
Is
there an Exorcist aspect to the game?
Ah, is there?
Can you define what that means?
Well, an exorcist is someone who performs exorcisms.
Yeah, is there like a type of exorcist involved in the shark arena?
Yeah.
Who's possessed?
The person.
Yeah,
the shark possesses the person.
Or just any type of... Well, essentially what I'm asking is, was there a shark exorcist?
Yeah.
No.
Well, then I don't want to play it, so what's the point?
Yeah, then what are you telling us?
Because you get to eat people and level up.
You're telling us to play a game where shark exorcist? There's a shark, but there's no exorcist.
Yeah, if you're into voyeurism, yeah, but the time I'm saying.
No, dude,
you're not doing a great job selling this one.
Making a reference to a movie that we've watched in the past, which is called Shark Exorcist.
Yeah.
Which have you guys ever watched The Room?
Yeah, The Room's great.
Okay, so but Shark Exorcist makes The Room look like Citizen Kane. It's like so much worse. It's like. And the thing is, like, neither of us remember what happened in it.
You don't know what's going on, scene to scene.
There's no characters. There's no development at all.
And then the next day, I didn't even remember.
Every few minutes, there's just random new characters, half of which I think were just, like, out-of-work porn stars that he hired.
Wait. I mean, Sharknado would have been a much more... It would have been an easier reference to remember.
Well, it wasn't about the ease of the reference for you. It was about familiarity of our audience.
With our listeners, yeah. Especially our Ireland listeners.
This isn't about you, Ohan.
We have a lot of Ireland listeners tuning in.
Oh, that's actually true. He's not just saying that. We actually do have a decent amount of people who listen.
Shout out to
Ireland,
our Irish fans.
We were going to talk about something else with Richard. There was one more topic.
Oh, we were gonna break down Dicked Comics.
Dicked Comics?
And the story there.
I'm going to go ahead and let you take the wheel for that.
Dicked Comics was my first foray into YouTube creations. And it was a comic book, comic review channel where every week we would pick up a couple comics, do a review,
like web
put it out there.
How do I find this on YouTube?
Like comic books. Just look up Dicked Comics. But it's
with an apostrophe.
Apostrophe. No, it's just Dicked with no E and then comics.
Okay.
Yeah. That was our first thing. We said some pretty controversial, well, not too controversial. We got a couple like 12-year-olds really mad at us for one review we did about a comic that was written by a musician that had no business doing comics. But we were doing that for a couple of years, and then we ended it, or I ended it, because I wasn't as passionate about comics as I once was, so I had to pull the plug on that project.
What was your name on there?
They called me Rick Rich Dick.
I like how you address the audience as, hey, nerds.
Hey, nerd. Oh, yeah.
And you say it like in that kind of way, that's like, hey, nerds.
What's up, you beautiful bastards?
It was kind of a character, but...
Kind of like Joe.
It was all right.
Would you say that it was semi-fictional?
I mean, the reviews were real. Those were actually how we felt about the comics.
But the character.
But, like,
is it
the character?
Is it kind of like a Mr. Plinkett kind of thing?
Semi. Like, I'm not that mean sometimes. I'll tend to try and, you know, choose my words a little more carefully.
But it's more of an entertainment.
Yeah. It was just to give some entertainment value, which is the same reason, like, each video is only, like, 2 minutes long. They're really short. Which I don't know if that helped us or
by
hurt
the way,
us.
I'm watching Hanzo.
It's not happening anymore.
I'm watching Hanzo number one comic book review. And if you're tuning in, and you want to listen, it's youtube.com/watch?v=AGBJHIFPCDW.
LMNOP.
Yeah, and that's a dead channel now.
Oh, well, I'm glad we talked about it then.
Yeah.
All right, shout out to
like
your
I was
channel.
Mentioning, my current one is just my name. It's youtube.com/Richard Quiner, and that's the one where I do role-playing game informational videos.
Do you worry that the same thing is going to happen with that channel, where you kind of lose interest?
Not as much, because I've been playing and doing D&D stuff for like 2 years, and I still find myself just obsessed with it.
Okay.
Like, it's what I spend all my time thinking about, or a majority of my time thinking about, so. Not quite the same as comics, where, with the comics, it was like, oh, I gotta do comics, but then I was like, I really want to do stuff with D&D instead. So I was, you know, splitting my attention.
Chris, you mentioned having a YouTube channel, but you never actually talked about it. Do you want to...
Yeah, on my YouTube channel, I started out doing League of Legends videos, and then I started doing... basically Overwatch play of the game compilations that I'd get. I was a trash Hanzo main that was actually pretty good because I'd spend half an hour practicing before every comp match. I just go into one of the bot games.
Have you done a sextuple kill like Ohan?
I don't know about on stream.
You saw that video?
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's impressive. Like, and it was all like right at the same time with Reaper. Or what was his name again?
It was, I think it was Reaper.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So have you done six in a row, Chris?
I don't know about on stream or in comp. It's been almost a year since I've last played. I stopped.
Well, you better get practicing.
November.
You got some big boots to fill if you're going to take over Ohan's channel.
After I got into Overwatch, I got into doing For Honor videos when that first came out. And then I was like, why am I spending every hour of my days that I'm not working playing video games? And I really want to be a musician. So I rebranded. I made a new YouTube channel, which is FreeMe, F-R-I-E space M-E exclamation, kind of like, get me out of this cage, get me out of this prison, you know, free me. And it's mainly about...
It's confusing. It sounds like fry me, though, spelled that way.
Well, it's short for my stage persona, Free Ragnar. Free is short for Frederick.
Okay.
F-R-I-E.
Is that your government name?
Government name.
It will be, eventually. Anyway.
I actually did change my name, by the way. I changed it to... My middle name used to be Daniel, but in California, the law is actually that if you want to have a new name, you can just start using it. Like, there's no forms you have to fill out. So I just, like, started going by Danger as my middle name. And,
what?
Yeah, that's actually,
I need to get on this.
What?
Just middle names or any name?
Any name. Yeah, if you want to just use
Sweet.
It. Sweet. Yeah, you actually can. Like, that's the rule here. That's why I go by Danger, and that's my middle. Just because I can rip it out as a dorky joke.
Are you joining us right now, Lars? Are you joining us right now?
Who's joining?
Are you Joeing us right now?
Nope. No, this is real. Yeah.
Joeing?
I'm not going to mislead people about the law on this show. Like, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, especially with the politicians. Yeah, Joe, I was using your little prank gag name.
For when someone's just doing a prank for no real reason, just to be that kind of guy.
Oh, a prank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we mispronounce words sometimes just to piss people off, like podcast instead of podcast.
Or podcast.
I liked mine better.
Same.
Anyway, yeah. Rick, is there anything else that you kind of, you're into passionately or that you have out there or just other aspects of you that you'd want to relate to the audience?
Not really. Like, my whole thing is a D&D and tabletop role-playing games and, so you know, just trying to get people into that. I'm very one-dimensional now. Yeah. I went through the phase where I tried to do everything and, you know, be everything, and now, you know, I'm settled.
Okay.
And I'm happy with
that. There's an argument for that, because if you're very focused, if you can get that core audience, then you have kind of evergreen content, so I can respect that.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
I'm kind of the complete opposite. Like, not on this show, but, like, I guess for my YouTube channel, which I'm not even really trying to grow. I'm more focused on the podcast. I just, like, kind of do a hodgepodge thing of whatever I think is funny. Like, I'll upload, like, edits of, like, Shaq doing a moisturizer commercial, or, like, do a video where I just, like, do, like, just, like, a completely normal review of a game. I don't know, just kind of random shit.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah, I'm there just to have fun, I guess. I'm not really looking for it to go anywhere. I don't have Ohan's level of desire for the future in terms of becoming the next PewDiePie.
PewDiePie!
He'll get there.
PewDiePie! Oh, wow. Actually, I have a house guest. I should probably not yell random YouTube references.
Well, it's only 8:16. I think it's okay.
That's true.
They might think that you have the real person there.
Well, no, he's here. He just hasn't said anything yet. So,
hey, how's it going, Brez?
Oh, I forgot to introduce him. Well, it's too late now. Just don't worry about it. Is there anything else you guys want to get into? Anyone at all? Please. Please. Hmm? Someone say something.
How about, I mean, did you watch today's video that I made?
I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was actually going to say, like, oh, hey, Ohan, do you want to talk about what you talked about?
Yeah, so the future of gaming that people are failing to see because
what is it?
Mouse and keyboard capable, basically combining every community together is what the end game goal hopefully will be, and hopefully financial situations will not block that from the community, because PlayStation got a lot of backlash with the whole Fortnite controversy of locking people's accounts out of other platforms, right? So mouse and keyboard capabilities on Xbox means that maybe, hey, they'll put League of Legends on Xbox, or maybe they'll allow, you know, crossplay with more and more games, you know, that launch, you because know, it'll be an even playing field. Right. You know, I've been wanting crossplay for years, but people are on their own PlayStation island.
I guess I don't understand why there hasn't just been complete crossplay since the beginning for all games.
So because of money.
Yeah, it's all business.
Yeah, so but it's a good PR at that point, and then more people will get into it. Not every decision is completely financial. There is strategic value. Like,
I actually got a PS3 because I wanted to play with my PlayStation friends, and that's how I got into the PlayStation community, basically, rather than Xbox and PC, which I had originally.
Well, the thing is, your look, if you bought a game on Steam from 2005, it's still there. And Windows 10 is still the same as Windows XP, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the platform is still there and the games are going to be there forever.
I think I've had this Windows copy since XP. I just keep upgrading it over time.
So. Yeah, so basically, it'll always be there. The lifespan for PC gaming is a lot longer. And now Xbox has jumped on that wagon where, you know, your original Xbox and 360 purchases will save, hopefully, in future launches as well. PlayStation and Nintendo keep resetting their libraries, which is not good for the community.
Yeah, and, you think that's going to change, though?
They have to, or else, you know, people flock over to whoever has better service. For some reason, PlayStation is getting a lot of traffic, but mainly because it has a lot of exclusives. And even though a lot of those exclusives are very, you know, they're all the same narrative, single player like, you know, experiences, you know, and I love, you know, God of War and Uncharted and all that, but like, I
think the cops are after you, dude. Is that you?
That wasn't me.
Oh, who was that?
That's Joe.
Joe, they're coming for
Joe,
you.
Joe, are you just last. Whistling?
Is he faking the police call in the back? All right. So,
all right, guys, I gotta go. My grandma's on fire.
Yeah. I value Steam for basically that exact reason. Like, I don't like everything that Valve does, but, I mean, my games have been there since the beginning, and they'll be there until Steam dies, I guess.
But, well, the problem, though, is that a lot of the major publishers are branching out into their own clients.
Which is stupid.
Bethesda, yeah. Origin, Uplay, you know, they're all branching out, and it's really frustrating because now you're gonna have like 50 other clients on your you know, on your PC. But
I will say, I don't mind it bad. When it's fully integrated with Steam. Like, Uplay it's kind of annoying, but like, if I want to play Assassin's Creed, it just like automatically works with Steam, so it's not that bad. I don't like it when it's like its own separate ecosystem, though. I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
like, I have Origin just because I have to. For some games, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all.
It's like with it's Netflix. I don't want to just subscribe to a bunch of different channels streaming. Yeah, I don't like where that's going.
That is a huge deal because television is dying, and networks, TV networks, don't know what to do because, you know, people can't just subscribe to like 50 different streaming services, or else their bill will be, you know, like $1,000 a month. You know,
well, they know what to do. They just go on Netflix, but they don't want to because.
Yeah, but the thing is, reasons. Subscription revenue can only do so much. I would assume HBO is purely SVOD, you know, SVOD being subscription.
Yeah, but it's it's either revenue that's less or no revenue at all. Like, I think about this stuff like because I'm a business school graduate. So like, I can see where companies are doing really stupid things, and it frustrates me. So I'm just like, I don't know, I'm really candid about that. You should adapt or die, basically.
I mean, most of it has adapted. I mean, I don't know if you remember the internet back in 2005, but it was
born
a lot
in
more
2006,
free.
So
yeah. Okay, well, never mind. But it was a lot more free back then than it was today. You know, it's very ad based, corporate based. Yeah. You know,
YouTube used to be less gross.
Oh, YouTube,
then.
You can have, I mean, dude. I got Rickrolled 15 times in a row once.
I think I think for this episode, we should just post the Rickroll audio instead.
Yeah.
And not release this.
Just scrap all of this audio, what we just recorded. Just put Rickroll.
Yeah, or just start it with a Rickroll. Just and then get into the actual episode.
Do you guys want to do a? I have like a hypothetical question that anybody could answer.
Oh yeah, can you explain why we're doing this? By the way.
Well, in every episode, we like to have a segment on a hypothetical question. And it's just become a tradition on the show.
You know, just interesting or amusing ones in particular.
In the past, we've done them on which Pokemon would be the most devastating to society if it was real.
Which is Magikarp.
No, it's actually Pichirisu.
Pichirisu, yeah. Pichirisu. Yeah, because he can tank Draco Meteor. That'll mean something to people who actually follow Pokemon. Otherwise, they're just going to be very confused. Sorry.
So here's the question for anyone who wants to answer. You come
across
the audience. Including the audience. Send us your answers.
Yeah.
You come across a magician who offers you a chance to immediately learn one new skill. You'll be grandmaster at it when you wake up the next morning, to the point where you could teach a doctorate level course on it from memory. It can be anything physically possible. What skill do you choose?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Wait, anything?
That's really
anything good. That's physically possible.
I have an answer,
possible.
But I want to give you guys a chance because I talk a lot.
I already know. Computer science.
That's a good one.
Well, yeah, it's useful. It's not surprising, but like I don't fault you for
so,
that.
So, Joe, does it have to be currently physically possible, or is it something that eventually science could probably bring us to in the next few hundred
I'm gonna
years
go,
or even a few decades.
I think currently possible probably is
currently
the best way.
Possible. Yeah, like
yeah,
you can't pick up a skill that doesn't exist like, yet.
So teleportation's out of the question then.
Yeah, that's not, I wouldn't say that's possible in terms of like how the question intends it to mean.
It can go there at some other
time,
but
though.
Let's just stick with reality here.
It will be. What about you, Richard?
I'm thinking, probably, marketing.
It's a good one.
That is
just
a good
learn
one. That's
how
a good
to
answer.
Market.
I would just say
things.
Like how to market effectively.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it would be like, I would say the ability to read incredibly fast with like such good comprehension. I can just learn about more subjects that way. Just
but
by
within
reading.
The realm of possibility.
Yeah, like as fast as if it was like a skill to speed read with really good comprehension, just to have that skill.
Okay.
Or just to be able to read in general. I feel like that would really serve me well.
Well, yeah, you should probably get on that if you haven't learned it, by the way. That'll help you a lot.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Okay, so I have an answer that might sound like a joke at first, but I think it would be very useful. And it's good sex.
All right.
Because if you could teach like how to do that, like just to be very effective in love and the making thereof, I think that that would be a very useful skill to have and to be able to teach to others. I feel like there'd be a lot of money in that.
So you just like turn around and start a school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would
Why
I have
not
to
just
turn around?
They have
the right way.
That's like just the long way of saying entrepreneurship.
Maybe, yeah, maybe you would have to turn around, I guess. Maybe
Why not just choose your skills like entrepreneur.
It depends.
Well, I how? Think, are you just saying kind of like in like the all of business is your, actually sex kind of thing? Like the Robert California.
Are
kind
you
of thing?
Saying sleep your way to the top?
That would be the name of the school. All right,
for me,
Joe, you have another one, or
for me, real quick, something in the realm of current possibility. I'd say probably master martial arts.
Which one?
All of something them? Something that...
Well, yeah.
It would be cool to master all of them, but probably something Eastern that incorporates the use of weapons and flips and stuff, because I'm a fan of that. I know the flashy stuff isn't as effective, but I think as a master of an art, I think you can usually challenge any other art.
I think if I was to describe you to someone, Chris, I would call you maybe like a weeb, but without the anime. Like I think that's probably you, because you have the secondary interest, but you don't seem to be much of an anime dude.
Yeah, the anime came later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's move on. Is there anything else you guys want to get to, or should we cap it?
Richard, do you have more to say?
No, I'm good.
Richard, do you want to go ahead and shout out your social media channels, your YouTube and such?
Sure. I can be found at Richard Quiner on pretty much everything. That last name is Quiner. So that's YouTube, Richard Quiner. Instagram is Richard Quiner. Twitter is at Richard Quiner. And Facebook, I actually have to look this up. I may have changed it the other day. Because I have my Facebook page, and it is just at GM Richard Quiner. All those places I can be found doing stuff about, you know, tabletop role-playing games, like I mentioned. And new videos go up on YouTube every Wednesday. On IGTV, I post some videos. And in the near future, I'm going to be doing even more once I get a new job. So,
Ohan, you want to go ahead and shout out your stuff as well?
Oh, well, I don't know if people can spell my last name, but it's Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. It's all at Ohan Gazarian.
Go ahead and spell it out while you're at it. I mean, might as well.
Ohan is O-H-A-N, and then my last name is G-H-A-Z-A-R-I-A-N.
And just real quick, Ohan, what kind of person would really enjoy your stuff?
I would hope everyone who's a gamer. Typically gamers, somewhat Star Wars fans, but I'm more...
Cosplay fans, maybe into, on the Insta.
Yeah, but if anybody who likes like Star Wars cosplay, it's my Instagram. But a lot of my YouTube content is all mostly video game related.
Okay, and if anyone wants to look up the first podcast on YouTube, we don't actually have a formal channel. I just went ahead and did mine. I'm Lars from Norway. You can find me, Chris. If they want to find you, how can they find you?
Just type in. Free me, FRIE space ME exclamation.
Okay.
I'm on both SoundCloud and YouTube. On YouTube, I mainly do covers. On SoundCloud, you'll hear a lot of my like experimental sort of tracks that I make.
Yep. And it's mostly satirical stuff, by the way. If he's not being super serious with it, just to so people can get ahead of that, if they want to check it out. Egg. I mean, I'm Joe. Can you shout out yours?
So far, my stuff is satirical. One second, Joe. Yeah. I just want to clarify
up,
real quick. So far, some of the stuff I've put on there is satirical. It's based on a character that I've made for a game I'm in. A game I'm actually in with Richard.
Ah.
But I am professionalizing it soon to have more serious... tracks that I've spent a lot of time already on and will be spending more on.
I'm not above the shit posting, but I can see why you would want to move past that.
Yeah, I want to have more of a professional kind of standpoint in the music
Makes sense.
Community.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's jrosenbloom11.
And what's your YouTube channel?
I don't have one, but okay. If you wanted to follow the podcast, it's the first podcast, and there we are on Instagram.
Yeah, and if you want to find all of our other links, let's just get you to the link tree. That's linktr.ee/thefirstpodcast. You can find our Instagram, Facebook, Discord, and Patreon.
I guess the Patreon is on there.
Yeah, Patreon's on there, but if you want to go there specifically, remember this show is a labor of love, but every dollar does help. Patreon.com/firstpodcastever will get you there. It's a monthly subscription service. There's also a PayPal link on there if you're not really the monthly donation kind of person. Either way is fine. And if you want to support Ohan's Patreon, it's patreon.com/firstpodcastever. You can go ahead and send him some of your contributions as well. You can actually correct me if you want, by the way.
I realize what you did. I'm letting you go through with it.
Okay. All right. And that's going to do it. I think we've overloaded the listeners with all of our links. And Kirsten, did you want to plug your stuff? Or are you not going to say much again?
No, she's on here, but she won't say anything again.
Well, let's let Richard sign us off.
This has been the first podcast ever. Thank you for having me, guys. And I guess we'll catch you next time.
See you some other day.
All right. See you, Richard. Thanks for coming on.
Bye, Ohan.
Thanks, Chris.
See you guys.
Who should I send this audio to?
Send it to me. I'll give you the email for that later.
Oh, you guys have been recording your audio?
Here we go.
I have not been recording my audio.
God damn it,
wait,
Joe.
For it.
So
for it.
You saying have not rather than haven't already shows that you're lying.
Yeah, he talks weird when he's doing a gag.
I'm not doing it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not doing a gag. I guess we have to start over. Is everyone good to go again right now?
Wait for it. Wait for it. Just wait. He's going to probably say this isn't a joke, too. That's his next
Richard,
line.
I'm so sorry because, you know, you and all you guys, Chris, Ohan, you guys make it out here. And I really dropped the ball. I just completely forgot to hit record.
Yeah, just...
Okay.
Yeah, well, we'll just have Ohan do your lines for you, and then that'll work. Anyway, wait for it.
Just kidding.
That's great how your voice cracked. I'm really glad that happened, because you deserve that.